During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Got a little early. And you were here ahead of me, which is very rare.
That's probably one of, maybe the second time.
Wow.
What's going on? I mean, my goodness.
I was just so excited.
So
couldn't sleep.
Amped up because the Chiefs are playing Sunday?
Yeah, that's what it is.
You want me to tell you the score?
Yeah, let's hear.
0-0 right now.
No. That voice that you heard is the Ford mechanic. Comes with the grease under his fingernails and his jumper cables. Greg Thompson.
So let's hear the score.
Yeah.
We haven't fed or watered him either this morning, so somebody just stand way back. Deal. Guys, I'll tell you what, we got a great show today.
You keep ignoring. You said you were going to give us a score.
I'm going to give you the score before the day's over. You can take it to the bank, too.
We have a new board operator. He's been with us for a few weeks now, Kyle.
Isn't he wonderful?
He's great. Yeah. We love Kyle. Kyle, yeah. What do you think is going to happen in this game?
He's not going to answer.
I've got the Chiefs winning by a touchdown.
Sweet. I'll take that.
Boy, I like your ad. That's positive. I love that.
Yeah. That dog will hunt.
Who's hurt? Who's out?
Nobody's out that I know of. I mean,
no, there's three questionable.
Yeah.
Three?
Kelsey?
Hardman.
Oh,
Hardman.
What's the matter with Kelsey? Anybody know?
He's got a
back injury.
Really? Well, I can relate to that real well. Wow.
He just didn't want to go through the walkthroughs yesterday, so took the day off.
I don't blame him.
Yeah.
Put some heat on it.
I don't think you'd be able to keep him off that field.
I don't either.
Give him a shot of Jack Daniels and send him out there. My goodness, you know, whatever it takes.
Hey, if Mahomes is going to play on one leg, I guarantee you Kelsey's going to be in there if he can be.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Got parity in the league. That's what the league's all about.
Yeah.
You know, so Cincinnati's for real. Got a great quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Such as we, but. It's going to be – I think it'll come down to a fumble, a bad call, block punt, something bizarre will happen before the game's over. But that's just my judgment.
That's pretty much what the other three games have come
just
down.
In case you want to know.
What was that?
27-23.
You know what's crazy? Mahomes is
21, excuse me.
Mahomes is the oldest quarterback of the four left.
Isn't that
amazing? I know.
Well, he ought to get his Social Security check here pretty quick, hadn't he?
Well, if he's oldest,
Brady gets his Social Security check.
Yeah.
If he's oldest at 27, we're screwed.
No doubt. Screwed. No doubt.
We are screwed.
We ought to be on the AARP channel. Yeah.
I hate to tell you this, guys, but it's about over for us. We're going to get how many, 60 more months maybe to live, 50 mm-hmm. more months? I finance cars longer and we'll live.
We're definitely in the fourth quarter.
Two out in the bottom of the ninth. I do hear good things about our Royals. I've been reading a lot about them. They said from the bottom to the top. So, interesting times.
Yeah, making some nice changes. We'll see.
You'd have to have a good memory with them because they change players every day.
Well, it's okay. Right? For whatever it takes to build the team, I'm in.
Yeah.
You know the deal. I have faith in management out there. I'm one of the few, but I do have faith in management out there. I think they're good humans, as we say, in the deal. Crappie fishing, guys, is it any good anywhere?
Oh, God, yeah, it's on fire. I mean, just about everywhere. Yeah, and this is the time. Yeah, that water's in the mid to upper 30s, and the crappie are bunched up, big bunches, and once you find them, you don't have to go very far to get a limit, but. Yeah, I mean, Toby Lewandowski, he's hammering them. Brian Ondrejka, the Kansas Angling Experience, mm-hmm. he's just hammering them. Richard Bowling out on Truman, he's catching them surprisingly shallow. He's going all the way back into these creeks in 6 to 8 foot of water. And 2 days ago, he was catching them under a cork.
At 1 foot?
Yeah.
At 1 foot.
Ah, now, wait a minute. I'm from Missouri. Got to show me.
Well, he does every day. He shows the board that he lays them on is 12 inches wide, and he shows it whoever his client's catches are.
Now, you get down, and he's fishing all over the lake. And when you get, like, up into the clearer water, they're a little deeper. But still, the clear water, they're 5 to 12 foot deep. I mean, it's still relatively shallow. But, yeah, this is the time. If you like to crappie fish, boy, you need to be out there. It get a little bit nipply out there, you know, right now with that
They'll be all right.
That cold front coming in this week. Might get a little ice forming again. We'll see.
Yeah, if you haven't fished with ice forming in your guides,
you just haven't lived.
You got to go try that once.
Cody Van Atten still killing the catfish.
Well, and Richard Bowling, he went out catfishing. And just annihilating them. In relatively shallow water out on flats.
Quality fish.
I didn't even ask him about that. They're just getting big numbers. He usually does catch some, over the slot limit. But,
Explain that slot, would you?
Well, I don't know. I don't remember exactly what it is. It's only on
Violator.
Truman.
Here we go. We could get a ticket issued here.
12 to 20. I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
And Kelly Kurtz, I just talked to him this morning, and they'd come back from South Dakota. You got to put the A part when you get. What's that?
You been there, Den?
But he got a gigged an 8-pound walleye.
Jeez,
that's a big fish.
That's a big fish. That's a good eating fish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. But
26 to 34 inches.
26 to 34
need to be released.
Inches.
Yep.
What's that mean? Go through that again.
On the catfish, on the blue cat, anything between 26 and 34 inches has to be released.
Micromanaging again, are they?
Yes, letting those big spawning fish go, which nothing wrong with that.
Not really.
Keep those smaller ones to eat.
Did you guys, of course you would, Mark, you didn't get a chance maybe to look at our Facebook?
No.
With Mike Hanley on there and the art that he's done?
No, I need to. I was trying to look that up before we got on the show. I couldn't find it quick enough. But I talked to him yesterday. You talk about a nice man. Boy, he's just as good a guy. Yeah.
Good old Southern boy.
Yeah. And he's for real. I've seen him on outdoor channels, and he is for real on that deal.
He's out at the Kansas Monster Buck Classic out in Topeka this weekend. So
that's pretty darn cool. You guys running out to see that?
I am. Don Brewer from Swamp People, he'll be there. This fellow by the name of Clint Ford that I met, he learned how to sharpen knives from both his grandpas, and he's going to be there. Paisley Worth, who's killed the largest buck ever killed by a female in the world, she'll be there. Of course, I was teasing her. She killed that 2 years ago. I said, we're going to have to look at that same little old brush buck again, or did you kill another one?
Well, I hate to tell her this. It ain't never going to happen again.
I'm not putting anything past this girl.
Well, that's a deer of a lifetime.
Young lady, I should say.
I mean, you just don't, just not around. I mean, that's just so odd and so unique. And the deal. We were talking a while back here about this is the good old days of fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the good old days of whitetail deer right now, And they got some problems, some CWD diseases and things like that showing up, but boy, the quality of deer people are harvesting is just off the chart. Years ago, I'd hear about a 150 every once in a while. Somebody around I knew or friends, or I'd hear rumors about it. Now it's not common, but there's an awful lot of white 150 class. Do you realize how big that deer is?
I know.
150 inches, guys. Now, figure that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so for some reason, I had this come to mind yesterday, and this is a good question for you, Fred. We've been arguing about whether LiveScope or electronics has really helped the fishing out, or it's helped a lot of people catch a lot more fish. How about electronics in deer hunting?
Yeah, that's trail cams.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they notify your cell phone if a deer walks by and things like that, Maybe... too much, I don't know. I'm from the old school. I mean, my gosh, when I started, which was when Moby Dick was a sardine, when I started, you had to go. I would take a tape measure with me and measure tracks. I would never see the deer, but I'd move into an area and I'd look for big rubs and what we called master scrapes, and couldn't go into certain timbers unless the wind was just exactly right, because you didn't want to haze him out of there. But, and back in when I started, it was brown, it was down. To shoot a buck was the whole thing. And for generations, we shot every antler deer that there ever was. And now these guys are completely different humans. And they let deer walk. You know, the 125s, the 130s, 140s, they let walk.
That's what it takes, too.
It takes old age on the deal. That's as simple as you can talk about it all you want, but it takes old age. And you can help them along with some, you know, some mental licks and things like that. But I see North Dakota is going to do away with food plots. You know, and that's congregating the deer too much. But they yard up anyway. You know, I can make a point on each way on the deal, but they yard up in the winter. The other night I came back down I-29 and there were 16 deer standing in one cornfield. You know, so, you know, you go, come on. You know, I mean, so I don't know. You know, CWD, go back to Dr. James Kroll when he had him on the radio show with us. It's much to do about nothing. And I'm sorry. You know, I would not give it to my loved one, you know, but it's never, ever confirmed case of crossing over to a human. You know, it's chronic wasting disease. You know, it's spongiform encephalitis, I think is what the proper term of that would be. But, you know, maybe that's wrong. But anyway, if I should go out and shoot deer, I quit hunting deer, and I didn't want to. I got some involved with other things that my time's gotten so daggone valuable on the deal. But I would have every deer tested for chronic wasting disease. And if it came back positive, I don't think I would eat it, you know, deal.
I don't think I could take a chance.
Well, you know, I don't like deer meat anyway. You know, I've had it fixed, sauteed and baked and run over and rebaked and seasoned, and I taste it and go, ugh, that's deer. And it's just, to me, it's just impalatable. You know, I can eat it in summer sausage, but you're eating more other stuff than you are deer meat, you know, and let's tell the truth about that, you know, and the deal. But, boy, I tell you what, you cook a roast or something with it, yeah, I can walk in the house and tell if you've been cooking it. You know, it's to me, it's not good vermin. You know, so what the hey. Yeah. But Tobin here, he eats blue cats. So, you know, here we go.
Proud of it. They're just wonderful, wonderful fish.
They are not.
It's just got to be the difference between getting them out of the river and getting them out of a lake.
It's water. Taking them out of the water. Yeah, Missouri River's probably as clean as it's ever been.
Yeah, so it's just you. You're not well.
Yeah, I'm not well. What the hey. I got to shooting some. They sent me some boxes of low recoil HSM.
Oh yeah.
Wow! Until you shoot this product, I there's no way I can explain it to you here. Now it's a 250 yard bullet, but I've got a new 243 with a Boyd stock on it. And you can hardly feel, I mean, you can feel it go off, but it has hardly any recoil to it whatsoever.
I mean, they claim it's like 50% less recoil.
I think it's even higher.
It seems like it's more than that.
It's absolutely unbelievable. And you got to adjust over to it. You know, I mean, you got to reset your scopes and things like that. But my goodness, what a load. That HSM company has got it figured out. They call it the factory, hand-loaded by a factory, you know, basically what it amounts to. And if they're not perfect, they don't go out the door. I just love that product.
Oh, there's nothing like it.
I didn't see any. I went and looked for some I've got enough to get me by, but I just don't see it on the shelves. I don't know what's going on. Well, they tell me they're having a hard time getting powder right now. No. I don't know.
Well, it's worth the effort to try to find it.
Yeah. Hey, we got to take a little break. When we come back, when are we going to have Mike on 30?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mike Hanley will join us. We're brought to you by King City Lumber, kingcitylumber.com. Please go to the website. You're going to build an outbuilding for your horsey or your pony or your four-wheeler or your tractor or for your wife. Go to kingcitylumber.com and purchase one of these buildings. Look at their website. Professional builders, the best there is. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. All three of our listeners are up this morning. You think they are? Nobody's answering. No.
I have some duck definitions for you.
Duck definitions.
Since you are in the Waterfowler Hall of Fame. Okay, we've got induction. That's the act of inserting ducks. We have deduction. That's the act of removing ducks.
I'm good at that.
And we have reduction. That's replacing a worn-out duck with a replacement duck.
Yeah. Too early. Way too early. You know, I took the dog over to John Serta for training.
We need to get him on. We haven't had him on.
Yeah, we haven't had him on for a long time.
Love John.
I'm sure he's gotten bit.
You know, yeah, I always ask him.
Maybe not yet this morning.
But. You know, I haven't told you guys the rest of this, but when I went back over to get him the second time, and he said, come get the dog. It's okay. Baxter's fine. So if I tell him to go left, he goes left. I tell him to go right, he goes right. I tell him to go long, he goes long. And he said, I got one other thing I did for you. And I said, what's that? He said, the dog can now talk. I said, what'd you say? And he said, I've trained him to talk. I said, man, I know you're good, John, but that's ridiculous. He said, watch this. And I said, well, okay. So he starts working on him and the dog. So I take him up to the bar the other night, take the dog in there, and the bartender says, you can't have a dog in here. And I said, well, it's not just a regular dog. This dog talks. And he said, prove it to me. I'll bet you a beer. Or if you don't, I'm going to throw your ass out of here. And I said, okay. So I said, Baxter, I said, how was the road coming over here? Rough.
That's so bad.
I said, what's in the top of your mouth? He said, roof. I said, who's the greatest baseball player to ever play the game? Baxter said, Ruth. Well, they threw his hat on the sidewalk, and Baxter walked over to me and said, should I said DiMaggio? And you, I had to get that out, you know, what the heck.
And you thought my duck definitions were bad?
This weird dog I own, me and Chris are watching the mindless TV, and all of a sudden I hear thud, 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 and out my patio door goes up to my balcony, up to my out porch. And this dog comes rolling down the steps, end over end, and blood coming off of him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he had a seizure.
Really?
Yeah. And just
Baxter did?
Oh, yeah.
Dang.
And so we're going to take him down here to this hospital down the street here and see if we get him scanned or something.
What? Is that the first time it's had
You know, I've had several yellow labs, and it's not uncommon. I took him to the bud dog I had. He had seizures, and we put him on doggy downers. You know, I'd take a few, he'd take a few. But anyway, I was talking to the vet about it. I said, man, what are we going to do about this? And he said, hey, wait a minute. He said, that's the nature of the breed in a lot of dogs. And he said, it's harder on the owner than it is the dog. Huh. And Baxter bit his tongue, blood coming out of him and all that kind of stuff. So. What the heck? Poor dog.
Yeah.
He had a bad day. Yeah. He had a real, real bad day on the deal. What's going on in Tanny Como?
You know, I've not heard a lot of good reports. I've got mixed emotions about this new stocking program. I know, you know, talking to Clint Hale and Shane Bush, the biologist down there, what they wanted to do was reduce the number of trout down there and increase the size. And that's been very successful. And people are catching a lot bigger trout on average, but just not catching the numbers. And it's been 2 years now. Last 2 years, we struggled to put a limit of fish together. Mm-hmm. And it can be done, but it's not like it was before they reduced the amount of fish that they were stocking in there. So I'm not a real fan of it myself right now.
You like quantity versus quality.
I do. Yeah. Mm. You know, I only go down there, you know, maybe once or twice a year. And, you know, I'm looking for some action. I don't care how big they are.
Yeah.
So I am a little disappointed in that myself.
Well, I can see both sides of that.
Yeah.
You know, I understand that and the deal. But, you know, what's weird is you're going down the river there to Flippin, Arkansas. Huge numbers. Catch all the fish you practically want, and they're huge. I mean, the first time I went to Flippin, Arkansas, I was standing on a balcony overlooking into the river, and I thought there were carp coming up the river, and they were trout.
Wow.
Great big ones, you know, 3 pounds, 5 pounds, you know, just huge fish, you know. Well, Tanny Como is not like that. I think if you'll give that another year, you know, I think you'll I don't know that, but I would assume it's going to start showing up as more fish and better quality.
Bait. Well, the quality, there's no doubt, has improved a lot. And you're hearing a lot of 18-inch fish, some 20-inch fish getting caught. And that's not uncommon anymore. And it was before they reduced the number that they're putting in. But like I said, I like the action myself.
Triploid, have you heard anything about, what are they doing about this? I mean, are they generating more bigger fish, or what are they doing on that fish?
Well, that's what it has done, and they're reintroducing that program, according to Clint. And they're going to continue to put those in there. So
I guess for our listeners, a lot of people don't know what we're talking about. What is that? I
mean, it's a sterile brown trout, and because it doesn't spawn, it just grows really fast, and they get really big. And we had, I think it was 2 years ago, or has it been 3 years ago now? They broke the state record three times in like 12 months.
Wow!
And more than likely, the next world record is going to come out of Taneycomo. And I think it's only within a pound and a half of breaking that record now. So,
yeah. Weird.
I don't know if that means you should put an asterisk by that if the world record's broken. You know, it's not like a wild trout. Mm. So,
do you guys know anything about fishing for trout in Argentina?
I do not.
Do you know
not much, but yeah, they've got nice rainbow down there.
I heard it's just absolutely unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, big king salmon. Mm-hmm. I just had a friend come back from king salmon. I believe his biggest one was 30-some pounds.
But that'll work.
In pristine waters, you're fishing waters that, you know, very few people have even seen.
Huh.
Beautiful, beautiful area down there. I'll be back down there in December.
You've been many places around the world. What's a couple of your top places that you've taken trips to?
Oh, of course, as you, I love the jungles in northwest Brazil. I wish I could go back into central Venezuela, but it's not safe anymore. But South America in the jungle and the rainforest, you could just quit fishing and just sit back and watch for a while. And I said this a long time ago, it's like the Discovery Channel with no commercials. Birds and flowers and animals.
Do you see any minkies?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, monkeys?
Minkies.
Strange story about that. So I was fishing Nicaragua the first time. I come up from northeastern Venezuela, Costa Rica, went up into southeastern Nicaragua, and I was fishing for a fish called a mojarra, which is kind of a hybrid bluegill on steroids. The world record's like 2 pounds or something,
really?
2 and a quarter.
Wow.
So I'm fishing along the bank, you know, in the boat, and I just get this feeling that something's watching me. And I look up, and there's about 10 or 12 white-faced monkeys. They're just right behind the first canopy, and they're all just staring at me in no motion at all.
I can understand why, but go ahead.
Kind of spooky.
They thought that of you.
Yeah, it was kind of spooky. It was cool, but, I mean, first when you look up and you got all those eyes looking at you like, whoa.
How big are these minkies?
Oh, those monkeys probably weren't, I don't know, 10, 12.
You got terminology.
Pounds.
You said monkey. We call it minky here on the Midwest.
I don't live in St. Joe, man.
Ooh. Cheap but good. Cheap shot but good. Deal.
That's a Peter Sellers reference.
Yeah. Peter Sellers.
Do you have a permit for your minky?
The chimpanzee.
I was lucky enough to go up into, follow this river clear up to where it started in the mountains. A Rami Indian guide took me up there. And my deal was I had to bring three props, and they busted two out of the three props getting up there.
Wow.
And fish for a giant mountain mullet. That was pretty cool.
Hmm. You know, that area is still yet to be discovered. There's stuff in there that they claim there's a gold mine back in there that's astronomical.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me.
Wouldn't either. Nobody knows. I mean, it's good story as anybody else's.
I fished the Siranuco, and they claim there may be as many as 1,600 species of fish just in that river alone in central Venezuela.
Yeah, I talked to them guys down. They caught some fish. They didn't know what it was. Hmm. And they asked the guide, said, what is that? He said, I don't know. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I don't know what that is.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
In the deal. What's the deal with your boat? Is it fixed, repaired, in the shop?
It's still in the shop waiting on parts.
We had a nice talk. I'm glad Joe came in last week.
Oh, I know. Yeah. They've got the, you know, and that's Sportsman's Outfitter Marine, and they do have a lot of boats right now. But when they're gone, they're not getting replaced more than likely. The, you know, it's the same problem that we've had with supply, and some of these manufacturers just don't have the help to get these boats built. And so, if you want one, go in and get it. There. Yeah, right. They've got a good selection right now, as good as they've had in a long time. But again, once they're gone, they're, you're going to have a hard time getting it replaced.
At the expo, I walked by one of the boats, and it was only priced for $105,000.
Oh, my gosh.
So I thought, well, I'll call my producer. He's got that kind of money. And I, he didn't answer. I don't
know. Well.
Kyle, you got that kind of $105,000 laying in a drawer somewhere? You know? No? No?
If I did, I wouldn't share it.
Yeah, you wouldn't be here. Yeah, right. You wouldn't be with us.
But
hey,
still,
I spent a little time at Reed Chevrolet this week. Not enough. What a great class act bunch of people. I can go on with stories after stories after stories, and talking to the guy who's made his seventh purchase there through the family. I mean, treat you with respect and dignity. As we always say, they'll never sell you a car, help you buy one. I've never been around an organization like that. That's the way it's supposed to be. I love these guys. I love Trevin. Trevin's coming in March to do a goat hunting show with us.
Oh, good.
Awesome.
So
he's such a good
in,
guy.
And I got so much feedback off that last show that he did with us. And he went up and stone sheep hunting and didn't get one.
Yeah.
But he said it was one of the greatest hunts of his life.
And that's something, yeah. Coming from him, that doesn't surprise me.
I'm surprised he got back.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I figured grizzly bear, you know, munch him up on the deal, you know. But
that's some tough hunting.
Impossible hunting.
Yeah.
People don't understand. I had a buddy of mine went, and he lost his toenails.
Oh.
Walks a steep down and steep up, and he lost his toenails. His heart is a very painful hunt. Oh, yes, we better take a little break. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoor. When we come back, Mike Hanley's going to be with us. Man, I'm pumped up about this guy. Ought to make a good show. Put your feet up, grab you a second cup of coffee, and we'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm your host, Fred Ramsey, and here with my partners in crime, Greg Thompson, and the greatest yard care manicurist in the world, Mark Tobin.
Thank you.
You are the second best fisherman in the United States.
Wow, I've moved up.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy Houston's better.
Oh, yeah.
Just don't barely. You agree?
Barely.
Wasn't that great to have him on?
He's the best.
He's humble.
What a great sense of humor he has.
Oh, and he's been, you know, he's been
there, done that. He's just been with everybody. Just no better than Jimmy.
And he's had some bumps in the road of life.
Yeah, he has.
And he sucks up his guts and gets back in the game. And
never feels sorry for himself.
Never feel sorry, never down.
He's a good example.
Good example of what America should be.
Absolutely.
Kind of deal. So, speaking of good examples, here by the Fune, I have Mike Hanley. I'm so tickled, Mike, to interview you. I've never got to meet you, but I feel like I know you. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are y'all doing this morning?
Doing great. What brings you to our neck of the woods here?
The Kansas Monster Buck Classic here in Topeka.
Whoa, cool. Do you know when that opens today?
Here for folks.
9 o'clock.
I think it opens 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Well, that's cool. We were just sitting here oohing and awing. We're going to talk to you about deer, but your paintings have just wowed me. I mean, how in the world, you're self-taught on this thing?
Absolutely. No, you just, I don't know if it's a touch of OCD or once I started, you know, I was just bound and determined to achieve a certain look, and I'm still going.
Now,
each painting is better than the last one.
You didn't start painting until you were like 49 or 50, is that right?
I started painting in 2001. I just returned from a safari in South Africa, and I was so blown away by all the flora and fauna. And one of the things that happened that pushed my button, I guess, a bunch of AIDS orphans came to our camp and did some tribal dances and singing around the campfire. And there's a bunch of hard, seasoned hunters there, and they wanted to dry around the fire.
Wow.
When this was going on. So when I came back home to Alabama, I went out and bought paints, canvases, and brushes, and painted the AIDS orphans. And then, everything else I saw over there, warthogs, Cape Buffalo, and I just kept going and on and on. And now that I've retired, I'm doing it every day. Love it.
Well, and it's got to be the most gratifying thing in the world to create something like that, and then people think enough of it to purchase it.
Well, it is. And, there's some wildlife, really great wildlife artists out there, and they charge a whole lot more than I do. My biggest joy is knowing that somebody comes along and sees one of my paintings and decides they can't live without it and they want to look at it for the rest of their life.
Ah, super. Yeah. And you had no inkling? I mean, did you have any artistic ability that you knew of up before you were 49 or 50, whatever it was?
Oh, not really. When I was a kid, I drew things with ballpoint pen and I painted a couple of things in art class in high school, but I never did pursue it.
Wow, that's just crazy to me that you could be that good and start at, such an older age.
Hey, Mike, is it hard for you to do?
Not really. There are some things more challenging than others. The thing that stumps most wildlife artists is the wildlife.
Uh-huh.
I enjoy painting that. I have no trepidation whatsoever to take on a project, but it's landscapes. When trying to get an accurate landscape and drawing 10,000 leaves and sticks, it gets tiresome.
Is that painting
do a painting of a particular famous deer, for example, that everybody knows, it's got to be just right.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be the likeness has to be there. But by the time I get through with that and all the blades of grass and leaves, and it could be 200 hours or more.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Painting.
So do you paint the animal and then put the habitat around it, or do you paint the habitat and put the animal in it?
Well, I used to paint the animal first, but then I discovered that I would get bored painting the landscape because it wasn't as interesting and it was harder. So now I do the background first and do the animal last.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
The most
pretty well.
The one I love, and I fell in love with it the first time I saw it, is the deer crossing the railroad track. And I used to work for the Burlington Northern Santa Fe before I knew any better. And the scale of that thing is absolutely off of the chart. I think that's got to be a challenge. That had to be a hard one for you.
It was. I decided I wanted to paint a lot of the famous bucks, the hole in the horn, mm-hmm. the Missouri monarch, and the Del Austin buck on mossy horns.
Mm-hmm.
And, you just stay with it. If you pay enough deer, you can just about do it in your sleep.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Except for the antlers.
Mike, this is the good old days. We talk about the good old days of fishing here in the Midwest is right now, I feel. But this is the good old days of whitetail deer, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I've been keeping track of deer since the 1980s and have been scoring for 26 and just left Buckmasters after 26. And I can just about tell you the top states per year, going back that far. And right now, today, it's astounding. I expect many records to fall over the next few years because they're falling right now.
What do you attribute that to?
Mindsets are changing, huh?
What do you attribute that to? I mean, all of a sudden these deer are just showing. I was talking off the air here about people were sending me pictures of a 150 class whitetail, pretty darn regular anymore. 140s, which is a trophy to me. 130 is a trophy to me. I don't care who you are, but why is all this resurgence in these monster deer here lately?
It's a change in hunter mindsets. When I was growing up, when I was a boy, anything with any bit of visible antler was a trophy, and you shot it if it came along.
Sure.
That's just the way it was. But over time, with the quality deer management and decreasing buck limits, people have become more picky.
Mm-hmm.
They've learned that they don't have to shoot small deer, that if they'll hold out, they'll be bigger ones. And with the technology advances, with trail cameras, and they You know, if you know there's a 160 or 170 or, God forbid, something bigger out there, you're not going to settle for something less. You'll eat tag soup before you do.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah. That's what happened. The deer are getting older and living longer and growing bigger antlers.
Well, that's basically what it's all about. Do you think the supplements, the mineral licks, the food plots are having any factor in this?
I think it's had a huge impact in places that don't have the groceries naturally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here in lots of the Midwest with the beans and corn, you know, there's a lot for the deer to eat. In areas that don't have that, absolutely, food plots and minerals and everything's working. It's turning it around.
Yeah. We had Dr. James Kroll on, Dr. Deer, one of the most class individuals that we've ever had the privilege to interview. He says the next world record will come out of Indiana, and he didn't even hesitate when I asked him that question. Do you agree with that?
Well, Indiana would be in my top three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say that Ohio, Indiana, or Kansas is likely to do it.
Mm. Well, I've never seen a deer herd this good in my life. I've got friends that are avid deer hunters, and they want meat. They don't get one. It just amazes me. And I always tell the story here on the air. This guy tells me they've been hunting the same buck for 17 years now. And I just shake my head and go on. And of course, you know, on the deal. But this is the good old days of whitetail deer hunting. There's no doubt about it. You know, unbelievable.
It is. You know, but aren't you glad that you got into it a long time ago when it was affordable?
Yes, right.
Imagine trying to start out today.
Oh, my.
You know, with the things that we started out as kids. You know, I don't know how people do it, but there's no question that the equipment and gear available to hunters nowadays is far superb to the things that we had to do. We had to hunt a whole lot harder with far less capable equipment.
Do you think electronics has helped to harvest larger animals now?
No question.
No doubt about it.
No question. If you know what's going out there, when he's going out there, when he's out there now, in some cases, mm-hmm. you know, it's, of course, it's going to play a role.
Well, yeah. Doesn't it also allow...
That opens up a whole other can of worms in terms of ethics in some situations. But... Mm-hmm. If the technology's there and if it's legal where you hunt, by all means, take advantage of it.
Exactly.
I think that one thing it helps at is Fred and I, we were all talking about it off the air. You hear a lot more people passing up 120s, 130s, 140s.
Exactly. Educated people. Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's unreal.
Yeah. What's your thought pattern? I'm sorry, I keep stepping on you. Your thought pattern on CWD?
I think it's here with us forever. Uh-huh. You know, those prions will stay in the ground for decades. You know, we don't know exactly how long, but, I mean, it may have always been here for all we know. But it's going to be here, and it's going to spread.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know personally if it merits some of the height restrictions and the obliteration of some herds like they did in Wisconsin at first.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that that's going to help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really don't. We can take precautions and maybe slow the spread, but we're not going to wipe it out.
Well, have you heard, and I figure you're one of the more knowledgeable people we could talk to about deer, have you heard of a human who ate deer meat with CWD that it affected him physically?
The science says no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have heard of a couple of people who said that it did, but the science says that particular prion for CWD will not jump the humans. Now, there are other variations of it, different strains, I guess, like mad cow disease or Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease
mm-hmm.
that will jump. But CWD itself is not supposed to.
Well,
I
might
say that, and then tomorrow a new study will come out.
Sure. My co-host, Mark Tobin, has a CWD, I'm sure. I'm not really sure what's wrong with him, but something's not normal. He keeps his head off to one side all the time, so we're worried about you. My co-host, Mark Tobin, here in the studio.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, we're visiting with Mike Handley. He is the former editor of Rack Magazine and the former director of Buckmaster Records Program. Mike, you're out at the Kansas Monster Buck Classic out in Topeka. This is at the Stormont Vale Events Center. What are you doing out there?
I'm here to oversee the scoring of deer for their contest, and I'm also today I'll spend the entire day inside a classroom teaching people how to measure antlers.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool.
Have you had very, very good response? Have you had very many people bring their racks in there?
It was a great first day. I think we scored about 24.
Wow.
In nice. All, but sheds, antlers, and some mounts yesterday. And six of those top 200.
Whoa, really?
Wow.
That's day one.
Jeez.
And we're supposed to have a real pretty warm day today. I expect we're going to be pretty busy.
Wow.
Wow.
That may not be time to eat lunch.
You know, a 200 class whitetail deer is just so mind-boggling to me on a personal level.
Do you know where those came from?
All Kansas.
Is that? Wow.
Kansas has got it going on. There's no doubt about it.
I wasn't at the show in its early days. We came along, I'm thinking maybe 2013, 2012. But in the early days when they started it, I think they'd get 300 deer.
Gee whiz.
Brought in to be measured.
Wow.
You know, it can rival any contest or deer show in the country in terms of number of deer. And the quality here just blows you away. I got scores who would pay to come to Kansas just to be able to put their hands on some of these monstrous racks.
Yeah.
How cool.
It's very impressive.
What happened to deer hunters? I mean, they're an amazing species, for first thing. And they grab that set of antlers, and they get that donut glazed look on their face, and they don't want to let go. I mean, I've never figured it out. You know, unbelievable on the deal. I'll get around my deer hunting buddies, and what's that?
They post a picture of a big deer on Facebook, and you can get a 250,000 hits overnight.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing.
That's happened.
Amazing. Unbelievable.
People love the eye candy, and if they can touch it, even better.
Yeah.
What time are you giving your seminars today, Mike?
It'll be from, we're going to start at 9 o'clock, and it'll take us on through 5.
Oh, really? Okay.
All the way through.
At the end of this class, there'll be a written test, and that'll wrap things up.
Cool.
Then I'm going to make a beeline in there to the exhibit hall so I can see what I've missed, see all the big deers come in.
Have you had a chance to see what all's going on in there yet?
Yeah, I was there all day, most of the day yesterday.
Mm-hmm. What can people expect to see when they go over there?
Well, there's all sorts of implements. There are campers, there's hunting gear, outfitters. There was, I think, maybe two dozen cornhole tables, and there were plots going on all day long. People playing that. And it's, you know, a pretty good crowd this first day. I think it's going to be hard to get through some of the aisles today.
Yeah. They've got the 3D archery shoot. They got the shed contest, like Mike alluded to, and the cornhole. That's a cornhole tournament. It's said to be the largest hunting and fishing and sportsman show in the state of Kansas. Don Brewer from Swamp People is going to be there. Wilder Horses is going to have a concert. I think that's tonight. They got the Fetch and Fish. Yeah. Got the 41
foot. They got the Doc Dog.
Yeah, yeah.
They got the what?
There's a lot to see.
Lots of stuff for kids. So it's a good way to burn some time while we're waiting for the Chiefs to play tomorrow night.
Mm, really? And that's true.
Well, Mike, that's the reason I think today is going to be very crowded.
Yeah, I'll bet it is. I'll bet it's record attendance today. Nice weather. And, yeah. And this thing has really been, this is keyed up. I got a lot of friends. I got some friends driving from Iowa over there. And Iowa takes a back seat to nobody. And they're going to go over and take a look at the deer and the deal. So got one buddy from Lincoln.
Their show is not until March, so.
Yeah.
They come down and whet their appetite here.
Exactly. I mean, these guys are eat, sleep, and drink whitetail deer. I've never been around anything like this on a deal. So you think the future of deer hunting is just pretty bright. I mean, we're down in the state of Missouri, we're down $5 million worth of revenue for hunting and fishing licenses sold. Do you think that'll trickle over into the whitetail deer? I mean, into the people buying their tags and going out there hunting them?
Oh, I think so. You know, the biggest problem, detriment, I guess, to the growth of hunting is access places to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody can get access, whether it's a club or they want to venture on some of the public lands, and maybe rekindle something that they did in childhood and then fell out of.
Yeah.
It'll keep growing. You know, I think there's a big jump in the number of women hunters.
Cool.
And with that increase and with most of, us grand types with grandkids, I think it'll always be here. And I think it's healthy. I think you're going to see growth.
Mike, I'm so impressed with your artwork. Can people find that and look at it or purchase? How do people do that?
They can just look me up on Facebook. I do a tremendous amount of business, and I post paintings in progress so people can see them take shape.
Oh, cool.
Do you ever do lives?
I haven't done it yet, but now that I'm retired, I might expand.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That'd be really cool.
Do you have that, the first painting that you did of the AIDS children?
AIDS orphans?
Yeah.
I don't have that original, but I repainted one of them just a couple of years ago. It's probably on there.
We're good.
Yeah, cool. I got to see that.
Yeah, me too. I tell you, Mike, thank you for getting up this hour and joining us here on the air, and nothing but best of luck. And I know some friends that know you, and you're one of the nicest people to walk the face of the earth, they tell me.
Oh, cool. What's the names?
Gladys.
Yeah. I want to make sure that, I pay the right person.
Hey, she's looking good. She got her teeth back the other day, so she's doing fine. I'll send her over today.
I'll see you over there after a while,
all right,
Mike.
Good. I look forward to it.
All right, buddy.
Thanks so much, Mike.
Well, thanks for calling, guys. I look forward to seeing you at the show if you can make it over.
Sounds
I'll
great.
I'll be there.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you what, what a class act.
Yeah, he sure is.
Isn't he a nice guy?
It really blows me away that he didn't start painting till he was 49, and he is so good.
What are you going to start doing, Toby?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't. There's light in a tunnel for you now.
I can't draw a stick person.
How about you can mow a manicured yard?
I can do that.
Paint it.
Oh, no, can't do that. I just know.
Well, I'm starting to worry about you. What the hey? Especially when you hold your head sideways. You ain't got CWD, have you?
Not that I know of. Metal disorders, but.
Me too. What the hey? Except for Thompson. He's the one who keeps it anchored.
You all are screwed.
Mike Handley, he's a good man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Go out to the Kansas Monster Buck Classic today or tomorrow. Yeah. Not a better way. I mean, you got to do something to pass the time because it's been a long week waiting for that football game tomorrow.
It's just an hour drive from Kansas City.
Yeah,
yeah, it's not to be. I got guys driving from Shenandoah, Iowa, going over there. I got guys from Lincoln, Nebraska, going down that thing. They got the deer glaze, I call it. Hey, we're brought to you by SureGrow. For you farmers that listen, which we have a lot of farmers, you want to look at these guys. They are fantastic at Four City, Savannah, and Osborne, Missouri, professionals, about 115 years of service on the deal. And we are also brought to you by Altec. If you guys are looking for a great job, there's no finer company than Altec up in St. Joseph, Missouri. Pay good, respect you, and I've got a lot of friends that work there. You cannot believe how good a company you can go to work for right there in St. Joe, Missouri. Tell you what, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. We got to go for this week. The next time we see you, I hope we see you in the great outdoors.
Please win, Chiefs. Let's go, baby.
Chiefs.
So long, everybody.